Good morning, Patriots. It's another fine morning. A Tuesday. And another cup of coffee. I'm telling you, we don't get through a week without coffee, morning and night. The necessity of life. I have to do a show sometime just on different coffees. That would be good. 2 Chronicles 7. Oh, wait a minute before I start, and I will. But I want to remind everybody that today at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I am on Dr. Tenpenny's Happy Hour on Instagram. I think that's going to be a fun show. So I would encourage you to jump in the car, drive across that digital freeway. Drive fast, you know, like we were talking about last night, like getting your Maserati, like getting your Lamborghini. Don't mess around. You can get into, you know, his really cool truck is the new Dodge 4x4. I think it's XLS or something like that. Man, that sucker's got a Hemi. It does like 190 miles an hour as a pickup or something. It's fast. So you could like drive fast in your truck too. So that's cool. Get on over there on that digital freeway and zip around there. And pull up into, there's plenty of parking over on that side of the digital highway. Get on in there, jump on out, and join us over on Instagram live stream. We did a test yesterday. Oh, yeah, just so you know, I'm going to be showing my face. So, whatever. I know you're going to be like, oh, Bards, come on. You're going to have to reveal yourself. Everybody knows who I am. You know why I don't do video? I'm very serious. It's two reasons, really. The first and foremost reason is portability. That's what I'm trying to say. Just, that's one of the primaries. I spent a lot of time, as you know, in Afghanistan, and video takes an enormous amount of bandwidth, especially, it doesn't matter where you are. Takes an enormous amount of bandwidth. Audio is a really clean signal. Plus, there's the other thing is, you don't want to be looking at my face every day. Sorry, just saying. You're supposed to be listening to the message, not staring at like my nose hairs or something. So that's, it's kind of like, it's weird. You're sitting there talking and you're like, they're looking at something, I can tell. What is it? No, it's in all seriousness. It's, if the program was like X22 where, and Dave does a great job. It, you know, Dave's the same way. Dave doesn't show himself. And I think it's cool because what he's doing there is the same type of thing. He's just, it's just an audio story. He adds slides to talk about some of the news he does. So, and his show ends up being very portable as well when you strip away the video format. So anyway, that's kind of the whole deal. There's people I think are like, he doesn't want to be seen. It's like, I think if you've seen it over on Gab, I won't mention that. Oh, I'm trying to be nice. Be nice, Scott. Be nice. Okay, so there is a Gab conspiracy theory that somebody has tried to start. And they found my LinkedIn. And they're like, did you see this? Did you see that? He worked for a agency that was tied to the CIA. Did you see that he worked for Department of Defense? He needs to speak about this. I'm like, yeah, I did. Why don't you go to episode 64? And so they're trying to start this little drama over on Gab. This is the second time it showed up. I have an idea. I know who the people are that are stirring this up, and I kind of laugh. I'm like, whatever. You know? Oh, by the way, folks, yeah, if you didn't know, I worked for a company called Orbis. It's not the same Orbis that's in the UK. In fact, that's the problem is they named the company and they found an international conflict of trademark. So there's an Orbis USA and an Orbis over in UK. The Orbis in the United States was originally started by Hank Crumpton, who is a former, he was called ambassador at large and was also the former of counterterrorism for the CIA. So There you go. You have it. Isn't that amazing? I just spoke about it. So if you're over on Gab and you come across that, just go, yeah, Bard's talked about it, so shut up. Seriously. You know what happens is idle hands, you know this thing about idle hands? Okay, so Patriots have nothing to do. I mean, there's a lot to do, but there's a bunch of Patriots out here that built their entire life on Q. Now Q's quiet, and they're like, I don't know what to do. What are we going to do? There's enemies within us. I'll tell you what I'll do. Bards can't really have a platform. He's got to be somebody else. So let's start a war. Whatever. Translates to, I'm not getting enough followers. I'm not having enough excitement on my channel. Let's stir some poo and start throwing poo into a fan and watch it blow all over the walls. Yeah, whatever. So, anyway, if you come across it over on Gab, you can just laugh a lot. It's total lame and totally, totally lame. So I just roll my eyes. So I don't even know where I was going with that. I just got on that this morning. That's just my wake up. That's the coffee winding up right there. Full disclosure, and I have been. And that's why I think what's important is that we do full disclosure. If you've known from the beginning that one of the things that I have disagreed with in the anonymous movement is that we can't build a country on anonymous. I understand the reasons early on in doing some of that research why people wanted to be anonymous, because early on there was a lot coming out and there was a lot of exposure on some of these boards. But that ended. That ended at least a year ago, if not two. And the point of it ending is that you can't have a country built on anonymous. How are you going to do that? It's like, we want accountability to who? And that principle of anonymous only works in the early part of the insurgency. But even as we learned with the Federalist Papers, it was originally published anonymously and then later was republished so people knew everybody's names. Anonymous does not work. In fact, the Federalist Papers would not be used today, arguably, if they had been written anonymously. If they had maintained that, I should say. Originally, anonymously, because they wanted people to hear a neutral voice, not because they were afraid of who was writing it. They didn't want people to be biased by who was writing it. Their republication identified everybody's name so that they knew who wrote each article. So again, anonymous had its function, but it doesn't function in a republic. That's a stupid concept. So the idea of being transparent and being who you are is essential, and letting people see what your background is, and that way people can judge for themselves if they do real research instead of trying to stir poo, you know? Whatever. And I guarantee you, the people that are stirring poo, the extent of service they've given to their nation extends about to the level of their doorstep because they haven't given it. But they sure like to stir poo. It's ridiculous. Which, and so we come back to where I started that whole thread, and then we're going to jump in. So to close all that out, tonight, this afternoon, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, tune in to Dr. Tenpenny's Happy Hour to see the real Bards. And he's going to remove his mask. And that dark operative deep throat guy, if only, could you imagine? I'm coming out of hiding. I'm coming out of the shadows. I'm carrying my stiletto in one hand. And I'm going to demask myself tonight. Whatever. Anyway, I'm going to be on there with Dr. Tenpenny. And I bet if you hang on there long enough, she and I will probably stir some big poo. Because we get along great. Good friends. And when you get us together, I guarantee you there's nothing that we won't talk about. And there's no boundaries. And no deep state troll we won't throat punch. So it should be good. So I hope you get over there and enjoy it. It's going to be fun. And we'll get her back on here as soon as we can. It's good. All right. All of that, though, does frame very nicely for the passage that I was going to begin today with, which I am going to begin with now. And that's 2 Chronicles 17. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Humility is the greatest, one of the greatest strengths that we have when we put our humility before God. And when we're honest with our hearts about who we are and what our intentions are. So much of motive and drive comes from ego, selfish desires, and most importantly, emptiness in the heart. There are so many people out here that are motivated the wrong way because of a heart that isn't pure and hasn't been turned over to Christ. And it's sad to see because so many of the problems in the world center on a principle of being grounded within the relationship of God and a walk in faith. But Christ, as Christ said, through me to the Father. So that relationship has to be pure. You can't have an intersection between you and Christ. And if you do, it's a false belief. It's a false relationship. So if you're relying on somebody to translate you to Christ, that's not what Christ said. In fact, it's quite opposite. It's worse than that. It's a form of idolatry because we've done exactly what the Pharisees were doing. And the Pharisees were acting as the gatekeepers to God. And that is exactly what we no longer do. That was the part of the whole gift that God gave us in sacrificing his son, is that we all, any of us, could accomplish the connection to God without the need for the temple masters. And then all we had to do was to pray to Christ. And in that process, the role and function of the church completely changed. The churches had become temples of worship and temples to allow you entry into heaven. And so use that position very influentially to gain wealth through tithing that they would then take into the church to build the temple bigger or more of them, and therefore ensure that their reign over people grew when people didn't get any closer to God, but they promised you ascension to heaven if you could tithe a certain amount. And so it ended up being very much a class type system. And it was a massive taxation. But that isn't the way it works, at least since Christ's sacrifice, because it actually never did work that way, but in particular since the sacrifice of Christ and his resurrection, we are allowed now access to God through Christ. That relationship is, like I say, pure, and it's incredible when you think about it. And it also explains the power of the churches that the disciples set up. Those churches now, small home churches, which we have to get back to, of having worship within our own home walls, are not built on the wealth of giving money, but they're built on the richness of relationship to God and to Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. When we take the idea of separating ourselves from the gatekeepers and building a true relationship with Christ, and then adding to that the humility and humbling ourselves before God through Christ to the Father, we've just lit healing as the agenda, the objective of healing this land, we just threw gas on fire in a beautiful way. And that's literally where we need to be focusing our love and attention. I'm not saying this lightly, and I'm reminding us and everyone listening here, in case you didn't hear Sunday night, and even for those that did hear Sunday night, Fishers of Men, it was a very powerful evening, and I'm not proclaiming my name on this. That was a very powerful evening of God speaking to us all, and it was a declaration of war, and I don't say this lightly. We collectively in that evening made a declaration of war against evil. And we now have to keep the pressure on that war. We cannot lose that focus. And that focus in that war begins by humbling ourselves before God and making sure that we've turned from our ways. To quote Chronicles, it says wicked ways, and we all have them, but to turn to God and to be healed through Christ, and now to stand in that place. And as you hear me say regularly, I reject this idea of having to carry the burden of guilt. Once you come to Christ and you've accepted where you are in this life, and you've humbled yourself before Him, and humility requires honesty in all things. And that takes different forms in some people. Some people carry a lot of guilt in them, and I understand. But once you've let that go, now feel the strength of being a warrior in Christ. Now feel that power of being a warrior in Christ. Let God know your heart. Let Christ know your heart. Let that healing begin. And when that we have that powerful relationship between us and God through Christ, we're now unstoppable. And it's not unstoppable. I think this is where so many people get tripped up. It's like, well, you're talking about pride. I'm not talking about any pride. Because when I sit and I bow and I put myself before God, I am nothing. Be clear about that. I am nothing. I am only what God wants me to be, but I am asking God to help me, as I said last night, and I mean this. I say to God what I'm desiring to help others, unlimited. I'm going to save the world. God's saying, well, basically God says, yeah, you're not, but I'm going to use you. Got it. Then it becomes, all right, God, let's save the world. Guide me. Use me. Let me be that vessel to walk out here. And without name, without identity, I want to be into this world with you, saving this world. And the beauty of that strength, that humility, is I'm not looking for an identity. No one is or should be. We're trying to do incredible things and letting God move through us and not limiting us. And that relationship is so important. And we underrate the importance of our role here. So often people see their role as a marking time. When I die, I'm going to go to heaven and there's going to be a bunch of pizza and we're going to have a big spaghetti fest and we're going to kick soccer balls around all day. I wish I was making a mockery right now. Sadly, I am making a mockery of stuff that is really said. And it is literally some of the dumbest stuff I've ever come across. I've seen it in music videos for teens. I've heard people speak it in church. And you're like, huh? What do you think? God's got like a Domino's pizza waiting for you and like a big spaghetti fest or something? I mean, come on, seriously. Free all you can eat delivery to your door in heaven. Just call and Domino's will be there and guarantee it'll be 15 minutes. And if they don't deliver your order in 15 minutes, you'll get another 15-minute pizza free. 2 in the evening. And you'll never get fat. Guarantee it because you're in heaven. It's dumb. And it gets to this super dumbness that somehow faith is translated to this thing. Like it's, you know, my faith in God translates to me getting everything I want and endlessly without any worry. That's kind of what faith becomes. What a stupid concept. And what a selfish concept. We are given one of the most powerful gifts in the universe, and I'm not saying that lightly. I'm not saying that lightly at all. We are given one of the most powerful gifts in the universe. Literally, the concept of moving a mountain from here to there, not said lightly. And it begins with 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Nowhere in that comment does it say I'm doing anything. It says I'm humbling myself to let God work through me. And in the process, I become the vessel of faith that God can use through me to literally transform the world. And by the way, I reread that same Chronicles, and I reread a bunch of other things in the Bible, and I cannot find anywhere in there in the Bible where it says pizza is going to be unlimited and spaghetti fest are going to be happening and soccer ball playing is going to go on forever. I don't see it. I don't believe it. So for those of you that are having a hard time with that translation, I'd encourage you to go back and read scripture because I don't think it's in there. Don't trivialize in any way the power of God. Do not trivialize in any way the power of faith. Do not trivialize in any way our relationship with Christ. It is not intended to be a relationship where we carry a burden of guilt. That idea of guilt comes from the teachings that came from Rome, that go to the Roman Catholic Church, that go later to other versions of the faith, that is when it breaks off into the Reformation. They carry that guilt. Why? Because through guilt, they can control people. You are a sinner. You will always be a sinner. You shall never be anything more than a sinner. Okay, I'd be the guy in the back of the room going, yep, true. Now, can we move on to the next phase? Because I just put Christ in my heart and Christ tells me I'm healed and I am here, reborn. And guess what? That means that my sins were left behind and I'm still imperfect, but now I'm standing with Christ and I'm here to kick some wampin' devil's tail and get him out of here. So I'm trying to figure out where the guilt is there. Excuse me. Man, be empowered by this love of Christ. Be empowered by the relationship with God. And if we start to walk in this world without pride, but just walk with the joy and the glory that God lives within us, what a powerful light we become. In a day and age where so many people are afraid and so many people are walking alone and beat down, the message that we carry should not be one of, you are a sinner, and therefore you shall ever, forever be on your knees. You know, for those that got the injection, I'd probably say, you're stupid, but we can help that too. Sorry, had to throw that in there. God's going to be like, that was not a good idea. Sorry. Just kind of being me, God, just because they're dumb. They took the injection. They turned their back on you. He's like, yeah, I know. Seriously, if we approach people and we talk about the love and power of Christ, of releasing the burdens of the choices that we've made through him to be healed, that's power. And that's healing. And that lifts people up. And that's where we want to be lifted up. You know, I went to a service in a church in Houston about a year and a half ago. And I went to a couple of them there. And it's a very cool church, really focused on youth. And one of the great things that I loved about this church is it was packed. And it was in a big auditorium. They hadn't built their new place yet. So they were doing their church on this high school campus, which also was cool because the high school was encouraging it, unlike other Luciferian communist public school institutions across this country. And they were every Sunday, and I'm talking hundreds of youth packed in. And you know, I watched this and I was trying to get a relationship as to what was drawing these youth in. And it was this type of a message, which was so uplifting, was yes, you need to come to Christ. Yes, you need to be forgiven for what you've done. Yes, you need to humble yourself before him. Yes, you need to break down your pride. But you know what the glory of that message was? Now stand up and be glorified within the love of Christ. Man, you had that place packed with youth raising their hands, praising God, singing together. It was literally one of the most uplifting places I have been. And I was like the old guy. As a matter of fact, I kind of like put in the back. I'm like, yeah, I kind of feel out of place here. It was beautiful. And of course, they were happy to see somebody like, oh, look at that. We actually have some adults that aren't afraid of us. It's like, not afraid of you. Just like, wow. I used to be that young. Not anymore. It's great, Patriots. It's great. I mean, this is the power and the love of God is so incredible in our world. And when we stand boldly with him, we humble ourselves before him, and then we stand up with that changed heart and we say to the world, not another child, not another elderly harmed, not another bit of evil on anybody else's lives. This evil stops here, stops now. Lord, bring the wrath. I'm standing here. I'm not budging. I'm standing on the rock of faith, and I'm not going to touch that evil again, and it's not going to touch me, and it's not going to touch this country. And in the power of us together in prayer, we will heal this land with the grace that you provide and the humility we put before you. When we stand that confident, that boldly, and confidence is not, it is a confidence in who we are. It's getting rid of that acrid, corrupted view that we are imperfect, so imperfect that we'll never be good in this land. All that twisted idea comes from a misteachings of the guidance of Christ. Where did Christ walk along and tell people, you're not worthy, you suck, you're an idiot? He didn't. He held people accountable. And that's the big one, is accountability. Because when we're accountable for who we are, and we accept what we have done, we accept the life that we've lived, and we put ourselves before God, again, through Christ to the Father, and we have that pure relationship, then it is literally stand up now. Stand into this world and stand. Notice in Ephesians, it doesn't say, get on your knees and stay on your knees and don't get up because I got to work around you. That's what a Pharaoh does. That's what a tyrant does. A tyrant and a Pharaoh tells you to be on your knees. Do not look at me, be on your knees. Don't come near me, be on your knees. Bow your head as I walk through and do this work with my army. You are to do nothing more than serve me at my feet. That is not what Scripture says. This is about us being powerful in this world, healed through the blood of Christ, and standing up to this evil in such a glorious way that as we stand boldly in the face of evil with Christ in our heart, we are standing. We're not wielding swords and conquering the world. We don't have to. Because the more of us that stand there as light with God gleaming through us, the power and the healing of Christ through us, we are invincible. The enemy can't touch us. And that's the glorious victory that God rains down upon this earth. It begins with us humbling ourselves before him, being honest in our heart, being true with the relationship we have to Christ. No one in between us and Christ, through Christ to the Father. No deceptions, an honest, true conversations that we speak to Christ. There's no, Christ didn't assign representatives. It's through Christ to the Father. And in that pure and true relationship, there is no church, there is no temple. There is a pure and true relationship between myself and Christ and into the Father. That's it. The role of the church becomes one of supporting the community. The role of the church becomes one of making sure that the children are safe. The role of the church becomes a place of safe worship together for fellowship. What it doesn't become is a temple of controlling access to God. That does not happen. It never was. That's why Christ flipped tables and confronted the Pharisees. Through Christ to the Father. Humbled as we are, and through that process, our hearts are healed. We are remade to the perfection God intended through Christ to the Father. And in that moment, now, we begin to touch the true gifts and blessings in which we were given, and which our inheritance was intended, and we begin to understand the power of who we truly are. We are God's children, part of Him. And in His name, no evil can stand, and not even before us. Think about that. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. We thank you for the blessings you give each and every day to revitalize that love and worship to you through Christ. We truly are humbled in this morning, and we humble ourselves before you. We pray for the healing of Christ to touch us, to heal us, to forgive us for all the sins that we have done, but not to carry that burden forward, but instead to let that be a past. To be humbled with all that you give, to be humbled before you in the glory of all that you are, and yet to be strong in this world, to stand unwavering, to shed your light and glean your light across this land so that those in darkness can always find a way home. Let us each be the salt, the uniqueness that you scatter across this land to create the perfection of this tapestry and the perfection of this army. And let us glow with the beauty and the radiance that only you can give so that others can see it, their souls can find it, and use us as the beacon to return to you. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. Through Christ to the Father. And if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Let it be so. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil, never relent. Always press into the fight. Humility and prayers before God for the healing of this land. Then stand, patriots, and stand boldly, knowing that God is in your heart, Christ lives within us, and no evil can stand before us. God will never forsake us. He will never leave us. And in the end, we will stand there gloriously and watch as God destroys and vanquishes it forever from this land. God always wins. So have a blessed day. I'll see you in about 20 minutes or so for Storm Dispatch, Federalist Paper number 59 today. Until then, or until the next time, God bless and out for now.
Sparks and embers fly wherever we were going. east of Eden, running with the wolves to freedom. If you listen, hear the whispers within.